This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Garrett Wright.
I just want everyone to understand, for best audio quality here, I'm in my closet.
And Brock Rom.
As you should be. That's where all the best audio is.
Hey, welcome to the biz. You got to make do with what you got.
From track athlete to gimbal runs in college to the pros, Juwan Bush is here to share his journey. We explore his background as an Army kid and how that helps him today, and what to do when you need to bet on yourself and fund your own opportunities.
3, 2, 1, clap. Close enough.
That was, all right, whatever.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Joining us today is Juwan Bush. He's a video producer and editor with Sporting KC, but he's had some great experience both in college and in internships in the pros. Before he has landed where he is today and Sporting Kansas City. So, Juwan, thanks so much for taking the time and joining us here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here and talking with you guys.
So I want to get into your background and understand how you got into creating content for sports. And then we'll also talk about what it's like working in pros versus working in college. So can you first just jump in and talk a little bit about your background in track? Because I think it's always interesting when you have people who were athletes, especially up through the college level and competed at a really high level, who then also create content. And I'm curious what that relationship looks like that you're able to develop with athletes and if there's any carryover there from being a former athlete yourself.
Oh yeah, definitely. So my lived everywhere. My father was in the Army and stuff like that. So when I was very young, my dad, whenever he would deploying stuff, he'd always tell me that to take photos and videos of everything, if it's me playing, my little sister playing sports or anything like that. So I get really interested in taking photos and taking videos. That's kind of how it really started. And then in college, like you said, I was a track athlete and we had a football team that was very good. They had like their own creative content person, but the track team didn't have it. So I was like, well, I'm already on the team. I already travel with the team and go to practices. So let me just try and take it up myself just to create some content for the team myself. And then kept doing that, kept getting better. And then the football creative director, Kevin Bird, he reached out to me and said, would you like to learn and be an intern and stuff like that? So was under him, did that for a year. And then he went to KU football. And then I took his role while still being a student, but I had to stop being a student athlete because it was too much. You got to be with football and track. So decided to focus on more what I love. So I went with creating content for the football team. And I want to say after the first game, I still get goosebumps thinking about it, but after the first game, I knew that this is something I could see myself doing for a good chunk of my life. And that's how I really got started and stuck with it ever since then.
So it had to be a hard decision to make though, to give up being an athlete when you went to college at Northwest Missouri State, right? Like that sounds like it's a tough decision, not just like I'm just going to go do this other thing. And, you know, but did you just know that this is what you wanted to do going forward, or what was that thought process?
Oh yeah. It was kind of hard because the coach that recruited me and brought me in, she was retiring and there was a new coach that was coming in, and the new coach was like, you guys aren't my athletes. And I lost my scholarship. So I was like, well, at this point I might as well try and get into it and try and put my all into it. So talk to the football coach and stuff like that. And they said, we'll be able to match your scholarship. And it all worked out. It all worked out at the end of the day.
So you had also mentioned your father traveled over to Iraq and, was part of the Army, right?
Yes. He was in the Army. He did travel to Iraq. I want to say he did maybe 4 to 5 duties. I may be wrong. I'll have to ask him.
So what was that like growing up in a household with a father who was in the Army?
It's a good life, interesting life. You don't really realize that you don't live like everyone else that's not in the Army until I want to say probably high school, when you start not being only going to schools where there's only military children as well. Got to high school and I start meeting people and they're like, you move every 2 years? I'm like, yeah, you guys don't move every 2 years? Is that not like a everybody thing? And they're like, no, I've been in the same house since before I was born. So being in the Army, it's very fun. You get very, very good social skills because every moving every 2 to 3 years, you got to meet new people. You got to reintroduce yourself and stuff like that. So it's very good. And then it really helps out with the job because, as we know, professional athletes, they can be gone in the blink of an eye. So you get a new athlete, you got to talk to them, make them feel welcome and stuff like that. And that's what the Army was all about, was when someone moves into where you are located, you got to make them feel welcome because we're all on the same team and all have the same goal.
I'm assuming you've lived in some interesting places then. Is there a place that sticks out to you from growing up or moving that many times that you really enjoyed living?
I would probably say the most interesting one to me was El Paso, Texas. I met, what's his name? The singer Khalid. I'm not sure if you've heard of him. He's a famous singer. I met him before he got too famous and stuff like that. So El Paso is really cool. Met some lot of friends I still talk to this day. And El Paso was just different because Texas has a running joke that El Paso is not a part of Texas because it's like right on the tip and stuff like that. So El Paso kind of has its own little swagger and everyone's El Paso proud to be from there, even though nobody knows where that's at.
If somebody asks you where you're from, how do you respond?
I kind of freezing people. Like, where are you from? I'd usually tell them I have no home and they're like, are you like adopted or anything? I was like, no. It's like, the world is my home. So there's no reason, in my opinion, to name one place to be home. I love adventuring around and like moving different places and stuff like that, because we shouldn't be stuck in like one country or anything like that. It's a beautiful world we live in. Travel everywhere. That's why we have cameras to document everything and to show the rest of the world how beautiful the other places are. So I usually say home is wherever my family or my loved one is.
That's great. Getting into what you've learned throughout that process of moving so many times and reacclimating yourself to a new area, whether it's a new job or a new location, a new city, new athletes, like you had mentioned. Is there something, do you have a go-to that you use to help get you acclimated or get to know people a little bit better?
Something that I usually do is I try and compliment something that like the regular person kind of wouldn't compliment. So I try and see if someone has like some cool socks on or if they wear like something constantly. One of our players, Kyrie Shelton, he wears the same hat constantly. And I'm asking him about it. I was like, bro, that's a really cool hat. What is the reason for it? Come to find out, it was his father was in, I forget what country. He was a soldier and that was the patch they wore. And then ever since then, me and Kyrie were really connected. And like every game, we make sure to dap each other up before he goes out onto the pitch and stuff like that. And I feel like sometimes just treating the athletes like just a regular person, a bro, they really appreciate that instead of always trying to like, oh, you can go first or something like that. Just little banter and stuff. So I usually try and compliment or pick out on little small things that people do to make them feel good about themselves and stuff like that.
I love that. That's awesome. So working with athletes, like you had just mentioned there, getting to know them personally, and you've only been there for, a little over five months now at Sporting KC. Obviously, you had a different stint there as an intern, but now as a full-timer, getting to know the team and the different people that you're working with, how do you develop that chemistry holding the camera and being with the players and not making it feel like you're like an outsider, that you're kind of part of it and that you're capturing content that is going to showcase them in the best light?
I would say the best thing is I have an amazing boss. And like when I got hired, he says, I want you to know that you're a part of not just our team, but the players as well. So once I was told that, I really felt like I actually was a part of the team. And one way for me to make the players know I'm for them, I always try and be the hardest worker in the room. And it's kind of hard when you're working with professional athletes because they work hard 24/7. So if I can sprint to go get a shot or something, or just do a little bit extra that they're seeing, they'll know that I'm going to bust my tail for them and for the brand and for the team as well. And I think doing that in a sense is the best way to really show the players that, oh, this guy's really a part of us and wants to be a part of us. So let's be cool with him. Let's talk to him and let's keep it cool with him.
So we might see, highlight on ESPN or something with Juwan running down the sideline to catch a shot. as the guys are chasing after the ball, and they're gonna wonder if you're faster than the players.
Just maybe. I've been trying to work on my gimbal runs. It's getting better slowly but surely.
What's the challenge with the gimbal runs?
The gimbal runs, it's I'm not sure if you've seen them, but I'm starting to realize that a lot of people, like for football, whenever they're in the end zone, people are sprinting down there to go get the shot and like have them in focus and stuff like that. While with our players, we're behind the goal and they have so much space to celebrate. So you kind of got to be on your toes. Are you going to go left? Are you going to go right? And with the gimbal, you just got to try and keep them in focus, keep it wide. And we have fireworks that go up. So it's always a challenge, but it's always a fun time once you do actually get it.
That's awesome. All right. Can we dig a little bit back into your earlier days, and then we'll bring it back full circle and, you know, build out a little bit more the conversation around what you do today with Sporting KC. So you had mentioned as an athlete, track athlete, getting into college and running track at Northwest Missouri State. You then went on to Arkansas State. You had talked about your dad asking you to capture content for him while he was overseas. Is that really what got you into this and jump-started your career? Or was there something before that that you had an interest that picking up a camera and having him ask you to do that was something that he inherently knew that you were already interested in? It was kind of his way of pushing you towards that.
I think it was more of me kind of really realizing how how much good we can do with our careers. Because some players are coming from different countries and stuff like that. So if we can document it and send that stuff to their family and friends, that probably means the world to them. We have so much technology that we kind of can make everyone feel connected. And after I really saw how emotional, how much my dad really enjoyed the photos that I took while he was gone, I realized that I would love to be able to do that, even if it's for sports, even if it's for like a fundraiser or anything like that. And just being able to stop moments, because we live such a fast life. Something always new is coming out. So being able to like pause and really appreciate a moment, I don't know. I feel like there's no field that's anything like it. And that's once I saw my dad with the photos, that's when I knew this is something I really want to do someday.
That's a really cool connection to make, to make the tie, to be a memory maker, essentially, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So what was your experience then when you dropped running and decided that you wanted to work with the athletic department and become a full-time or more of a full-time content creator working with the football team? Mm-hmm. What was that experience like getting into and acclimated within the football program and capturing content there?
It was different. It was very different. I always caught myself kind of feeling like the coaches were like talking to me, like the coach like, oh, no jogging. And I'd see myself running and stuff like that. But I realized that the players actually enjoyed that because they wanted me to feel a part of the team. The football players wanted me to feel like I am a part of the team. I'm working with them, getting up early with them and stuff like that. And once I started seeing that, just because I don't have the pads on or just because I don't have the basketball shoes on doesn't mean I'm still not a part of a team. And being a part of a team, just being in the Army, it's always something big to me. I've always wanted to be a part of something bigger than me. So I have something to always strive for and work hard for. So it was a good adjustment. It's different because I was used to waking up 3 times a week, weightlifting and stuff like that. But this time I was waking up and waking up and putting the camera in front of their faces and stuff like that. So I had to get disciplined on doing stuff myself, but it was a good change. Very good change.
When you talk about kind of embedding yourself, for lack of a better term, with the teams, how did you see that change what you were able to capture, how you were able to capture both them and the games?
I would say it really changed once I went to a 5 a.m. run. The football team had a 5 a.m. run, and the coach said, you don't have to go to this. This is for the players and stuff like that. But I still made it known that I wanted to be a part of this team. So I went out there. A lot of players were surprised. And ever since then, it was like a switch. They were always coming to me. They'd always like have cool ideas and new videos. Like, bro, I think we could do this and stuff like that. And actually hearing their opinion of what they like and what the fans like as well really helped me kind of understand how important it is to understand your audience, understand who you're pitching to and who you're making content for as well. And that's when I realized that sometimes just doing a little bit extra so that the coaches and that the staff and that the players can see really goes a very long way when you're trying to get that content that the broadcast can't get or a regular person can't get.
Was a lot of the content that you were capturing and producing primarily for social media for the team? Was it for more recruitment? What were your objectives there?
I did all of the recruiting and all of social media as well. I'd help a little bit with the video board, but that was mainly somebody else that was a full-time on staff.
Gotcha. And so when you get into, I think if Brock was here, he'd like to get into gear with you a little bit. I'm interested to know what both at Northwest Missouri State, and we can start to get into what you did at Arkansas State a little bit more too. Mm-hmm. What kind of gear did you use when you were out there capturing? You had mentioned the gimbal now, but mm-hmm. sounds like you were maybe using gear that allowed you to be a lot more mobile and run and gun.
Oh yeah. So with being a Division II and like below, I would say P5 schools, I kind of had to get my own equipment and stuff like that. So I had a GH5 with the 70 to 200 F4 and then a Wilkinen, I want to say 135 and a 14 millimeter. And I saved up so much money just to get all that stuff. And that's when I knew I was putting all my chips in a basket and that I really wanted to be successful in this field and that I was willing to risk it all. But it honestly definitely paid off. And that was what I was working with. GH5 is kind of a slept on camera, but it's very good in my opinion.
Interesting. So you didn't have budget to work with to build out your equipment, to keep adding things to your tool belt, just as far as gear goes. I think that's always interesting to hear, because you decided that it was an investment that you wanted to make, but you were also investing in yourself. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, it's 100% accurate. And of course, from like every other typical college student, they're like, you're spending how much on a camera lens? And I'm like, I promise you it's going to pay off down the road and stuff like that. But my dad always said to envision what you want. And if you envision it and think about it every day, you will get there sooner or later. So I kept envisioning that one day I would be able to work for a team, a club, or a brand that they will be able to fund for all the equipment needs and stuff like that. And that me buying the equipment for myself isn't forever. It's just for right now.
That's a great perspective. So how did you earn that money and save up to be able to purchase some of that equipment? I'm assuming that was probably a couple thousand dollars worth back then.
Oh yeah. I worked at a lake shack. I sat in the shack and I gave people their boating license, and I worked some crazy hours. I want to say from like 6 a.m. sometimes to, sorry if you're at that train, like 6 a.m. to maybe sometimes like 5 p.m. throughout the week, and then as well as working out as a Domino's delivery pizza guy.
Oh, nice. My first job was at Papa John's, so that's pretty cool. So, but hold on a second. So you did all this while you were in school?
Yes.
So you went to school and you carried, was the boating job during the summer?
Both of those were in the summer. And then when school started, that's when I started doing just the football creative stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. So you basically worked a double shift all throughout summer to pay for your gear and equipment to be able to buy the equipment that you were going to use in the fall to kind of jumpstart your career.
Yes.
That's cool. What'd you learn while doing those side jobs, the boating and the delivery driver?
I learned that everything is really expensive when you're an adult. I was like, man, I used to always ask my parents to get me all this stuff. And no wonder they said no half the time. But yeah, I definitely learned it that way. And I just learned really the price of the dollar. Your dollar can go a very long way if you use it wisely. And of course, I learned, I always knew work ethic, but work ethic and being patient. I learned a lot of patience because looking at the prices every day of like GH5, I was always looking at color graded footage of GH5. I was like, cannot wait to get this. I'm dying to get this. But when I finally got it, it felt good to really be like, this is something that I dreamt about all summer, and I finally got it. And it was a good camera, very good camera.
That's awesome. Always feels good to get the payoff at the end, right? So you're building up to that point.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. It was a different victory feeling than winning a race or something like that.
So I assume you have a different perspective on customer service than too, being a delivery driver, dealing with people when you deliver, and boating licenses. I'm sure there were people that were not exactly nice or happy to be talking to you or working with you, besides the fact that you were delivering them something that they wanted and needed.
Oh yeah, 100%. You learn about a lot about customers and stuff like that. But my father, he was in charge of a lot of army or a lot of soldiers. He was like a very high rank CW4, I believe. And he would always tell me that whenever someone comes off aggressive or in an ugly way, don't take it to heart. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So let them do it. And then don't let it affect you. Just go your separate way. So whenever that would happen, I'm like, okay, it's nothing against me. It's just against the person that made the pizza. They're just taking it out on me. It is what it is. You're still breathing. The world is still going. You can change your day. So yeah, that's usually how I used to view it back in the day.
Is there a tip that you remember that you got, like a huge tip or maybe a super small tip that resonated with you?
I want to say once I delivered a pizza to my college's the president, Dr. Dzinski. Like, he opened the door and I was like, oh, Dr. Dzinski? He was like, hey, aren't you a track athlete and stuff like that? And I was so surprised because I've always seen pictures of him and see him at like graduations and stuff like that. But I was able to talk to him for like, I want to say like 15 minutes because whenever I see someone that's like very superior, I just want to ask a few questions and stuff like that. So we conversed and he was a very great guy, very, very great guy. And side story, he got invited to one of our sporting matches and one of our reps were talking to him and Dr. Dzinski was like, is Jawan here? Is he working? And the guy was like, he's actually like on the field. I don't think he can come up to this game. He's like, oh, well, if he can come up, let me know. Just tell him I said hi. So that was like a very cool moment that he actually remembered me.
Oh, that's awesome. So what kind of, you just mentioned some questions that you wanted to ask high profile people like that for success reasons or understanding how they got to where they are. What, what was that conversation like and what kind of questions do you ask people like that?
I asked him one question was how do you not feel the pressure of being in charge of so many people? Because one day I do want to be like a director of like creative video or something like that. So I asked him like, how do you not really feel bad when you make certain decisions or stuff like that? But he says, as long as you know yourself that you're making a good decision for the greater good and not being greedy, it's easy to go to sleep at night. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because of course, someone's always mad when there's a lot of people, no matter what you do, no matter how cool the video is, someone's going to be upset. So I feel like once people start being okay that no matter what, people are going to be upset, it's a lot easier to sleep at night. And I also asked them, I always ask successful people this, why didn't you quit? At some point in your life, someone wants to quit. And I believe his was that he wanted to leave something great for his family. And I was like, well, I'm a huge family man. So I had a lot of respect for that because being in the army, like I said earlier, being a part of something is always a good feeling, great feeling for me.
That's awesome. So we just got through your summer of working hard to make a ton of money so that you could go buy this equipment. And now you're a poor college student finishing out your senior year, working with the football team, doing what you want to do. And it eventually leads to you getting a job with Arkansas State. Can you help us understand how you got to that job with Arkansas State and the rest of the year with Northwest Missouri State?
Yeah. So the finished football season, it was a great season. And then the men's basketball team hired me as well after football season. So I was like, okay, another gig, it's just basketball. I would love to shoot it, shot it. We got to the MIAA tournament, won the tournament, crazy, crazy game. We won it. And then this thing called COVID happened and everything shut down. And then classes weren't happening. There was no more sports. And I was like, well, sports aren't happening. That's like the only thing I was really trying to do. And I was just like kind of slumped, just doing workouts. Me and my amazing girlfriend were just, you know, staying active and stuff. And then I get a call from an alumni from Northwest. And I didn't know him at the time, but he said, I've been following you for a while. And I've been seeing you progress throughout the years. And I want you to know there's a position. Would you be interested? I was like, well, nothing really going on in life right now. So I might as well go. Went up there to interview. And it was a third-party company called LT. Great company. Talked with them. Talked with the people at Arkansas State, and they said I'd be a director of new media. So, and then accepted the job, went down there, and I did work for the video board for football, men's and women's basketball, and then created content for social media as well.
So what was the biggest adjustment for you outside of, you know, this feels like a little bit of a trend in your life. You're after a couple of years, you know, after you get through college and you're onto your new spot and now you're in Kansas City. But when you get to your new spot, it's also during COVID. So how were you able to adapt and what was different with this job than what you had done specifically at Northwest Missouri State, working specifically with the teams?
Yeah. So my job was sort of with the teams, but not specifically just with the teams, because I had, I think, 16 sports to try and create content for. So I had to divide up my time very wisely and stuff like that, and as well create content for the video board as well. So I really, really, really had to get organized and really had to make sure to do stuff ahead of time if I had the opportunity to. If it was an away match, I started making the motion graphics for the next home match. Even if it was 2 weeks away, 1 week away, a few days away, I always tried to get ahead. And I learned that always carries with me now, because whenever I'm sitting doing nothing, not really doing as much, I'm like, there's something I got to do, something I should be doing. So that always gets me antsy. And then at Arkansas State, I would say another thing I had to get good at was, since Arkansas State's like a P5 that has all the money and resources and stuff like that, I had to get good at helping out where I could. So sometimes a photographer was taking photos somewhere else, so I'd step in, take photos just for the photographer, to give to the team and stuff like that. So I learned to really be a team player, not just a role player. Be a team player, help out wherever you can.
Were you still shooting on the GH5 at that point?
Yes, I was. I was still shooting on the GH5 at that point.
So you've mentioned adding photography, pitching in and helping out where you can. You also mentioned motion graphics. You primarily shoot and edit video.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you pick up some of those other skill sets, or was it just getting thrown into the fire and figuring it out and using the skill sets that you already had to figure it out?
So photos, I took photos at Northwest, but they were for more of like recruiting websites. Whenever we send them out to our recruits to have photo shoots of the players in their uniforms and stuff like that. But like in-game action photos, I got thrown into the fire on that. They just needed it. Another photographer, I said, well, I'll try my best. It'll be amazing, but I'll give you my all. And gave him my all. And then with motion graphics as well, that was just thrown into the fire. I just had to learn that pretty quick. It was not my best work, but hey, got the job done.
Nice. So as part of the live entertainment portion, that putting on shows, what did you learn getting into that? Because it sounds like up until that point, you weren't working in arena, in stadium, whatever, in venue, I guess the better way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were working solely with teams and on social media. So what did you learn from working in a live event space?
I learned that you got to have patience, especially if something's going wrong, if your stadium's on fire. Have patience and stay calm, because my crew of camera members and replay operators, they were students. And some of these students were like freshmen. So I had to stay calm and just have patience, because of course I always tell myself, so you were in that situation once. Don't ever get mad at someone for messing up. I'd rather get mad at someone for not trying. Messing up means you're actually trying and that you're trying to learn, which is okay. I'm not asking for anyone to be perfect. I just want someone to try their best. So I learned that. And then as course, I also learned I have a lot of respect for people that run the TriCaster. That thing is a beast, but I had a lot of fun learning that.
So you were directing then?
Yeah, I was running the TriCaster and telling my camera angles where to go and do and whatnot. It was a multitasking every other week, but it was a lot of fun.
Awesome. How did this opportunity now? So it sounds like you were at Arkansas State basically during the COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got an opportunity to go to Sporting KC, where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
And a place that you had interned years ago. How did that opportunity come about and get you to move to Kansas City?
Came out in an amazing way. So one day, I think I was walking my Pomeranian Apollo, and I got a DM on Twitter. And I was like, oh, it's probably some football player asking for photos. So I opened the DM, and it's our old sideline reporter, Carter. He sent me a message and said, hey, man, I remember you from when you interned, and I think we have a video position opening up. I think you'd be amazing. You should apply. And I told him, like, thank you very much. I definitely look into it and stuff like that. And looked into it, filled it all out and whatnot, but I forgot to press send. And then he messaged me again and said, hey, it's closing in a few hours. I really think you should definitely apply. And I was like, wow, completely forgot. And I applied like the last few hours and then sent it over and stuff like that. And then got the call from Stuart, my boss, director of video production. And we hit it off, had an amazing conversation, had interviews with the creative director, graphic designers and stuff like that. And I felt very connected just talking to them. felt like they were already supporting me and they didn't even hire me quite yet. So once, like after the second interview, I was like, if I don't get this position or if I do get it, I'm going to be very happy that I actually apply because I know there's good teams and good people out there as well.
It's all through connections, right? Like you had put in the work and the effort as an intern to stand out or be memorable enough for somebody to reach out to you when an opportunity came about.
Yeah, I believe so. And I think one thing they may have remembered when I interned, it was 2019. I was still at Northwest and I drove 3 times a week, 1:30 just to get here to intern. And then I drove 1:30 back to my college town to go work the Domino's pizza shift. So I was so just wanted to intern for professional teams, see what it's like to get to this level, be around the success. So I was willing to make those drives. They were long drives, but I got to listen to some cool podcasts.
Nice. What is your role then today? And how do you, you had mentioned earlier about running the gimbal for a goal celebration and some of those kinds of things. What does your day-to-day look like as a video producer editor?
Day-to-day is we're always trying to show the fans that Sporting KC is the best soccer club in America. So every day we're, every day-to-day, I would say that we do collaborate. We have cubicles, but they're like see-through. You can see who's next to you. So I sit next to the social media manager, and then I sit next to a video producer, and there's a video producer that sits next to me. So we're always just throwing ideas. And even if someone's doing something, I love this place because it's a very open space. No one's going to turn down your idea or say it's stupid or anything. They'll take your idea and see how we can construct it to be on brand. And that's honestly my everyday. There's soccer balls being kicked. We're just talking about what's the next cool creative content while passing the ball, trying to get a ball in between someone's leg to get a nutmeg. And probably game day is really where I feel like I'm back to being a student athlete because I have like my pregame ritual playlist and stuff like that. And we all show up at the same time and we have our pregame photo video meeting. The creative director gives us a game plan and then always tells us go be great and go shoot great. And then it's showtime. I'm in the locker room shooting the guys, making sure they're all good, making sure everybody's good. I do my ritual of talking to the equipment managers and then it's showtime. It's either we have one person on the FS7 that's shooting mainly all game action. We have someone that's on the gimbal behind the goal so they can run and chase after the celebration. And then we'll have someone in the stands to get shots of fans going berserk whenever there is a bad call or whenever there's an amazing shot or amazing play.
And what's the output for what you're creating for? Is that primarily social media? Do you interface with the in-venue team too?
No, my boss, he's a crazy good editor, but he does mainly all the in-venue stuff. And most of our stuff is social media or our TV show that we have Become One. We also do the segments for that as well.
So you had also mentioned that you guys can be seen like kicking a ball around, having some fun. And how much of that playtime, so to speak, do you feel is important for you to feel connected to the group, but also like build the camaraderie and feel like you can toss out ideas and be a little bit more vulnerable with tossing out ideas or coming up with concepts to pitch the rest of the group?
I think it's very important that this place makes an effort to actually know the true you, not to know like the typical corporate yes sir, yes ma'am type of you. They want to know who you truly are and where you're truly strong at and stuff like that, which I really, really appreciate it. Because of course, growing up in a military place in school, it was always the yes sir, yes ma'am to the teachers and whatnot. And being able to actually let loose, be myself in this environment really helps out a lot. And I believe once you're more comfortable, people are a lot more creative and they're, like you said, a lot more vulnerable. And it's very good to see like the workplace is starting to be more vulnerable. They're allowing people to accept to be yourself and to just not just one person, but like everybody, no matter how you look or who you are, it's okay to be yourself. And that's why I think this is a great office and why we have such a great group.
So who's the leader of the pack with nutmegs?
With nutmegs? Oh, it's probably one of our video producers, Jordan Burrell. Every time I walk past him, I'm scared. I have to like kind of close my legs a little bit whenever I'm walking past him because he's a veteran on the soccer pitch.
Nice. And you also mentioned something that I think is kind of interesting, being a former athlete yourself with your music playlist. So as you're getting hyped up and getting ready to go shoot and getting the right headspace. What's on your playlist?
I got this from actually the guys. It's a remix, dubstep, I think remix of Goosebumps by Travis Scott. And I think it's by Diplo as well. And that song stood out to me because the first time I was able to go into the locker room, that's the first song I heard. And it was kind of a pinch me moment. So I was like, oh, snap. I'm actually here among professional athletes and among the MLS, like other professional video producers. I've always dreamt about it. I've always talked about it to so many people, but actually going inside the locker room, I was like, yeah, this is finally it. And then hearing that song, it always gives me goosebumps and always gets me just amped up and ready to go.
When you talk about your time at Sporting KC, even though you've been there for less than 6 months, but can you help us understand what you see as the differences between where you were at Northwest Missouri State and Arkansas State and now where you are today with Sporting KC?
I would say that I realized, I've learned that college athletics reminds me a lot of the Army. It's a lot of NCAA, answer to a lot of guidelines, which is always good. Being in the Army, it's good to have guidelines and stuff like that. While with the MLS, they actually tell us, like, push the boundary. Let's see how far we can go. Let's see how far we can have this content go crazy and stuff like that. And I love to be able to push the boundary because that's what track really was. You pushed your boundary, your body, to see how far you really can go and how fast you can go within that time or how far you can jump. And I think that's what's really good about the MLS and just working in a creative space. It's always good to see how good can we make this video, intro video? How good can we make this shoot? Can we make this guy levitate or something like that? And I think that's what life should be about, seeing how far we can go and actually surprise ourselves.
When it comes to your skill set, then, what do you feel like you've improved the most since you've gotten there?
Learning the camera. I always knew cameras, but I didn't like fully understand and know why certain things did certain stuff. Now that was one thing Jordan Burrell always pushed on me. He said, know your camera. It's not the shooter. It's the shooter that knows his camera. And he said, you can have have the best camera in the game, but if you don't understand why that camera does what it does, it's kind of useless in a sense. So I definitely, understanding the science of cameras, understanding the science of white balance, knowing the different temperatures of white balance, knowing what time of day it is, and knowing the different shutter speeds, and knowing all this small stuff, but it actually goes a very long way. And another thing I got better at is, I'll say interview questions. I'm a lot better at making the subject feel comfortable, a lot better at asking questions before we start interviewing, so they're already talking, they're already comfortable, and already ready to go into the questions, so they don't give me straight on stale answers.
And where are you hoping to get with your skill set building, working with the MLS?
I get that question quite a bit, and it's always hard for me because I know the long-term goal is I want to have my own video production company someday. But of course, I have to learn from the greats. I'm currently working alongside with the greats. And yeah, talked in a circle, but yeah, getting the own video production company someday would definitely be a huge goal of mine. If that's working video production, working under a club or something along the lines of that.
When you talk about wanting to own your own company or be leading a group, video production group with a team, what are you doing in the short term to make that a reality?
I have a notepad at home and I'm taking notes of all these important things that I'm learning from my boss. Cause my boss, Stuart Perini, he came from Ole Miss. And when I was at Arkansas State, he had a coworker there and the coworker told me that Stuart kind of built a control room by himself one day on the weekend. I was like, wait, a control room? He said, yeah, he just knows so much. And every once in a blue moon, I'll ask him a question. He instantly knows the answer. So I go, whenever I mess up during a game, after eating dinner and stuff like that, I go on my notepad and I write down what happened, what could have gone better, and what can I do better so that whenever I do need to just go back or, I don't know, teach someone a lesson or something like that, show them that mistakes do happen. Don't go on it for too long, and that you can move forward in life and stuff like that. And that's one thing that I'm doing right now to kind of keep track of that. I am progressing slowly but surely, getting to that on video production stuff. And as well, whenever I have free weekends, I try and work with other production companies in Kansas City, learn from different people, have knowledge from different places and different people, and not just one source.
I love that. So if you were to say what your most proud moment is working in sports, what would that be?
It was probably, I helped another Division II retired athlete get a internship with Sporting KC. His name is Jace Armstrong. And when we both were at our Division II schools, both in the same conference, we'd always like throw ideas at each other and like always compliment each other's work, because we both know the struggle of not having a budget, having to buy your own equipment and stuff like that. So once I got in this role, the steward asked me, he helped me out find an intern, instantly knew who I wanted to try and reach out to. And he was our intern for the summer, and he did amazing. He did amazing. I'm still trying to, he graduates in December, so I'm still trying to find places for him within the MLS. But that was one of my happiest moments, just being able to give back and help someone that was in the situation that I was in years ago.
That's awesome. Love it. Do you have anything, any advice that you would give to somebody who has maybe been in your shoes, where they feel like they do have to go invest in themselves? They have to do a lot of do it yourself, figure things out and make it work without much budget or any budget at all, to get to where you are today.
I will tell them that stay patient. It's a slow process. Rome wasn't built in a day. Sport clubs don't win championships the first year they're established. It takes a slow process, and don't assume that you know everything. With how much technology comes out every other week or day, there's always a new skill to learn. So always be a student. You can be a teacher if you want to, but it's always good to forever be a student and always be a student to the game and student to just, no matter who it is, if it's someone that still may not know as much as you, they may have a trick that you could learn. So that would be my advice to them.
Awesome. Is there anything we missed that you wanted to cover?
One thing I would probably say is, probably for the industry, is like just everyone just be a good person. We all have the same goal of getting some amazing content. So let's all be good to each other, share each other's work, and, you know, be good, be great every day possible, because we have a lot of fans that already tear down our work. So it might as well be good, nice to each other as creatives.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.